Book 16, Chapter 3. How great disturbances arose in Herod's family on his preferring Antipater, his eldest son, before the rest, till Alexander took that injury very heinously. But now the affairs in Herod's family were in more and more disorder, and became more severe upon him, by the hatred of Salome to the young men, Alexander and Aristobulus, which descended as it were by inheritance from their mother Mariamne. And as she had fully succeeded against their mother, so she proceeded to that degree of madness and insolence, as to endeavor that none of her posterity might be left alive, who might have it in their power to revenge her death. The young men had also somewhat of a bold and uneasy disposition towards their father, occasioned by the remembrance of what their mother had unjustly suffered, and by their own affection of dominion. The old grudge was also renewed, and the east reproaches on Salome and Phiorus, who requited the young men with malicious designs, and actually laid treacherous snares for them. Now as for this hatred, it was equal on both sides, but the manner of exerting that hatred was different. For as for the young men, they were rash, reproaching and affronting the others openly, and were inexperienced enough to think it the most generous to declare their minds in that undaunted manner. But the others did not take that method, but made use of calumnies after a subtle and a spiteful manner, still provoking the young men, and imagining that their boldness might in time turn to the offering violence to their father. For inasmuch as they were not ashamed of the pretended crimes of their mother, nor thought she suffered justly, these supposed that might at length exceed all bounds, and induce them to think they ought to be avenged on their father, though it were by dispatching him with their own hands. At length it came to this, that the whole city was full of their discourses, and, as is usual in such contests, the unskillfulness of the young men was pitied. But the contrivance of Salome was too hard for them, and what imputation she laid upon them came to be believed, by means of their own conduct. For they who were so deeply affected with the death of their mother, that while they said both she and themselves were in a miserable case, they vehemently complained of her pitiable end, which indeed was truly such, and said that they were themselves in a pitiable case also, because they were forced to live with those that had been her murderers, and to be partakers with them. These disorders increased greatly, and the king's absence abroad had afforded a fit opportunity for that increase. But as soon as Herod was returned, and had made the aforementioned speech to the multitude, Phiorus and Salome let fill words immediately as if he were in great danger, and as if the young men openly threatened that they would not spare him any longer, but revenge their mother's death upon him. They also added another circumstance, that their hopes were fixed on Archelaus, the king of Cappadocia, that they should be able by his means to come to Caesar and accuse their father. Upon hearing such things, Herod was immediately disturbed, and indeed was the more astonished, because the same things were related to him by some others also. He then called to mind his former calamity, and considered that the disorders in his family had hindered him from enjoying any comfort from those that were dearest to him, or from his wife whom he loved so well, and suspecting that his future troubles would soon be heavier and greater than those that were past, he was in great confusion of mind. For divine providence had in reality conferred upon him a great many outward advantages for his happiness, even beyond his hopes. But the troubles he had at home were such as he never expected to have met with, and rendered him unfortunate. Nay, both sorts came upon him to such a degree as no one could imagine, and made it a doubtful question, whether, upon the comparison of both, he ought to have exchanged so great a success of outward good things for so great misfortunes at home, or whether he ought not to have chosen to avoid the calamities relating to his family, though he had, for a compensation, never been possessed of the admired grandeur of a kingdom. As he was thus disturbed and afflicted, in order to depress these young men, he brought to court another of his sons that was born to him when he was a private man. His name was Antipater, yet did he not then indulge him as he did afterwards, when he was quite overcome by him, and let him do everything as he pleased. but rather with a design of depressing the insolence of the sons of Mariamne, and managing this elevation of his so, that it might be for a warning to them. For this bold behavior of theirs, he thought, would not be so great, if they were persuaded that the succession to the kingdom did not appertain to them alone, or must of necessity come to them. So he introduced Antipater as their antagonist, and imagined that he made a good provision for discouraging their pride, and that after this was done to the young men, there might be a proper season for expecting these to be of a better disposition. But the event proved otherwise than he intended, for the young men thought he did them a very great injury. And as Antipater was a shrewd man, when he had once obtained this degree of freedom, and had begun to expect greater things than he had before hoped for, he had but one single design in his head, and that was to distress his brethren, and not at all to yield to them the preeminence, but to keep close to his father, who was already alienated from them by the calumnies he had heard about them, and ready to be wrought upon in any way his zeal against them should advise him to pursue, that he might be continually more and more severe against them. Accordingly, all the reports that were spread abroad came from him, while he avoided himself the suspicion as if those discoveries proceeded from him. But he rather chose to make use of those persons for his assistance that were unsuspected, and as might be believed to speak the truth by reason of the goodwill they bore to the king. And indeed there were already not a few who cultivated a friendship with Antipater, in hopes of gaining somewhat by him. And these were the men who most of all persuaded Herod, because they appeared to speak thus out of their own goodwill to him. And with these joint accusations, which from various foundations supported one another's veracity, the young men themselves afforded further occasions to Antipater also, for they were observed to shed tears often, on account of the injury that was offered them, and had their mother in their mouths. And among their friends they ventured to reproach their father, as not acting justly by them. All which things were with an evil intention reserved in memory by Antipater against a proper opportunity, and when they were told to Herod, with aggravations, increased the disorder so much, that it brought a great tumult into the family. For while the king was very angry at imputations that were laid upon the sons of Mariamne, and was desirous to humble them, he still increased the honor that he had bestowed on Antipater, and was at last so overcome by his persuasions, that he brought his mother to court also. He also wrote frequently to Caesar in favor of him, and more earnestly recommended him to his care particularly. And when Agrippa was returning to Rome, after he had finished his 10 years' government in Asia, Herod sailed from Judea, and when he met with him, he had none with him but Antipater, whom he delivered to Agrippa, that he might take him along with him, together with many presents, that so he might become Caesar's friend, insomuch that things already looked as if he had all his father's favor, and that the young men were already entirely rejected from any hopes of the kingdom.